Hello and welcome to this edition of the Cultural Colchester podcast. I have another great guest with me today, and we're talking books today mostly, but we'll get on to other stuff as well. And it is Joe Coldwell, the manager of Red Lion Books. Hello, Joe.
Hello, I love a drum roll. Thank you for that.
You're very, very welcome. Now, I'm going to get straight into Red Lion Books because in its own way, it's as iconic in Colchester as Jumbo, the Mercury, First Sight is becoming. Why do you think everybody loves Red Lion Books?
Because it sells books. I mean, I would say that because I love books, but we're survivors.
You are.
There is that as well. I would also like to say now it is because we're offering something which is good service and community-based things. It's lovely.
It is, and everybody who goes in Red Lion Books gets that special treatment and they're made to feel important and interested. So I think that's great. How long have you worked there?
I knew you were going to ask that. I actually don't know. I've been living in Colchester since 2000.
Right.
So I've been shopping there. But working there, who knows? The years roll on.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. A while.
Yeah.
You've worked there a while.
Maybe five.
Okay. Okay. Well, we will get into what you were doing before that. And Peter and Sarah, who own it, are lovely, aren't they?
Yeah.
Such lovely people.
So, very lucky that we've got them still. I feel like they're the mum and dad.
Yeah.
And long may that be the case.
Oh, they're wonderful people. And I am told, of course I've never done it, you can buy books online.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah.
Very cheaply.
Who knew?
Who knew, eh? But bookshops and books have had a real renaissance. It's one of the good things, a few good things about lockdown and pandemic, is that people have started reading again. People have gone into bookshops. You've noticed that in Red Lion Books.
Yeah, I don't really look at the competitors, but I am told that during the lockdown, their prices did go up, which is very interesting and very naughty, but we can all see it. If you only have one supplier of anything, it's not good, it's not right, it's not proper, and prices, of course, they will go up, and they will pick and choose the titles they have, whereas at the moment, we can pick and choose.
Mm-hmm.
As can every other shop. So we're definitely encouraging a wider choice.
And of course, having avoided online sales and all, you had to get into it. And I've ordered books from Red Lion Books through the website and click and collect and all that. Was that a big leap for Red Lion Books?
Well, it's hilarious. We spent, 42 years saying, don't go online. And all of a sudden it's like, come and find us. Not only go online, you had to find us. So it was a bit like the equivalent of hide and seek. Come and find the bookshop. And at the moment it's very much through our email. So you email a real person and we respond.
Mm-hmm.
But as a consequence, we are updating our website as well. So watch this space.
I can confirm that's what happens, folks. So you don't, but soon you'll be reopening fully.
We will be opening fully. It's been quite interesting, the relationships we've built through the email.
Mm-hmm.
I had a woman the other day, ordered a book and asked me personally to add a quote.
Oh, really?
She'd just lost her father. It was a book to her mum.
Oh.
And she said, can you find a book to encourage her reading mojo? Now, I'm pretty sure if she was queuing up in the shop, she wouldn't have volunteered such an intimate piece of information, maybe wouldn't have asked me to do that. She'd have bought the book, given it to her mum. But there is something about the communication we've had with people. I really feel connected to our customers more than ever. And now I'm saying to people, come and show me your face, because I've built up these relationships on Instagram or through the email, but I'm never quite sure what they look like. It's like a blind date every day. I love it. I love it.
Do they always look like you're expecting them to look?
No.
No.
And I hope I don't either.
And of course, for anybody who doesn't know Colchester, Red Lion Books is in the middle of our high street and it is the best bookshop around. Please go and visit Red Lion Books if you're ever in Colchester. And the thing is, you have a great selection of books and you get the smell of a bookshop is wonderful, isn't it? I love just going in there, taking in that smell of new books. It's wonderful. But you you can order anything from Redline Books and it comes within days, I know from experience.
Yeah, interesting. The way we operate is we love books and it's up to us what we stock in the shop. So we tend to have a little bit of everything. If you go to other shops, and I've seen this specifically in London, mm-hmm. in a kind of a trendier looking shop, they don't have as many titles. They have lots of them. So you walk in and it can look very alluring, but anyone who's a real reader, publishers, authors, people who visit our shop who are readers, love our choice. They're all there. And if they're not, overnight we can order them in.
Yeah, absolutely. And they do come very, very quickly. And you are also a big promoter of local authors and local books. Yes. So that's great for anybody who has published a book and is local. The Essex Serpent went way off the scale. Sarah Perry, isn't it?
Sarah Perry is also the patron of the Essex Book Festival and has become a customer and friend and amazing author. She's so excited about her book now being televised.
Yeah.
Yes, over at Malden.
Yeah, they're filming it.
Mersey.
Yeah. Yeah, can't wait. And it's got Claire Foy and Tom Hiddleston.
Not, isn't it Claire Danes?
Claire Danes. I've got my Claire's
yes,
wrong.
Got yeah. your Claire's wrong.
But Tom Hiddleston.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. Right. Absolutely. So brilliant. And she's a friend of Redline Books. And The Manning Tree Witches is another one that's going viral.
Yes, so don't get me started. I absolutely love this book. The publisher mentioned it to us because of the title. It's Manning yeah. Tree. Then we got an early proof.
Who's that by, Jack?
Her name is Amy, but it's sold as A.K. Blakemore.
Okay.
She's young. And she's a poet, and it's as if she's got every big word she's ever known and thrown it in, her love, her passion. It's incredible. I feel evangelical when I talk about this book. We had an event with her, a Zoom event, obviously, at the moment. Yeah. It went really well. Yeah. It was a sellout. 100 people came. And what she hadn't been able to do is step into a bookshop. And she arrived last Saturday unannounced. Walked in with her father into our bookshop. I went a bit starstruck, having had this lovely evening with her on Zoom. And then somewhere in the conversation, I told her dad that I had discovered her, which I did not. I did not discover her biologically nor professionally. On no level did I discover her, but I was a bit overexcited. And her dad was very charming about it.
So there's two books that I haven't read and I'm now feeling very, very guilty. Essex Serpent and Manning Tree Witches are worth reading, you're telling me.
Absolutely. And The Manning Tree Witches is based on the Witchfinder General.
Yeah.
And I didn't know this, but outside Castle Park, in our beautiful park up here, outside the castle, there is a plaque for the witches.
Yes,
and I didn't know
correct.
I left flowers there recently.
That was John Warland who set up that, who's another great Colchester champion of the arts. Lovely man. And he, yeah, when I was portfolio holder, we set that up. And it is, yeah, you can go and see the dedication to all those women who were burnt due to Matthew.
Apparently not
hanged.
Apparently in Europe they were burnt. Here we drowned them or hung them or did all sorts of horrific things. Mainly for being single and owning cats. I mean, crikey, that'd be most of my friends, I think.
But yeah, there is a memorial in Castle Park and that's lovely. So Redline Books and local authors and it's a wonderful bookshop. And your colleagues are wonderful as well, aren't they? You've
they
got
are.
great staff in there. So I'm plugging Redline Books until I'm red in the face.
And just to say, it depends on what day of the week you walk in because we don't tow any kind of corporate lines. You may walk in and ask for recommendation.
Yep.
You could get me, you could get Margaret, you could get Polly. We'd all give you a different answer and that is fine.
That's great. Yeah, because I read one, I think you recommended to me, Gentleman in Moscow.
My favourite book.
What a great book that is. Yes. What a fantastic book.
Just keeps on giving. It's so good for the lockdown.
Yeah.
No spoilers, but it's basically a man who's stuck in a hotel for 200 pages. And that sounds quite claustrophobic, but Tim, tell me.
Oh, it's absolutely wonderful, yeah. And it is fairly slow-paced because of the situation. Yeah. And then, no spoilers, but the last 50 pages or so. Oh, my goodness, yes. What a wonderful book. I think you recommend it. I know.
I would have done it because yes, anyone brilliant. Who's ever read it is in love with the Count.
The Count is the main character. And I hope that will be made into a film or a TV series because it's begging for it.
Well, apparently.
But it's my spoiler book, I suppose.
it is, the rights have been bought up by who's the man? Branner?
Kenneth Branner.
He's not my count.
Oh, no, right. Oh, he's going to be the count. In my mind, you always think in the mind what he looks like, don't you? He didn't look like Kenneth Branner.
Looks always better. Let's just leave it there.
Yes, absolutely. And the other one, which everybody's bought and has taken off like incredibly, is The Thursday Murder Club by Richard Osman, which is a lovely book.
Yes. It's cozy. I love
the chapters because they're so short.
Love a short chapter. But I don't like using the term cozy and crime together. It doesn't quite suit me. I'm a bit of a goody-goody. But that is what it's known as, cozy crime. And we've got other books I'd recommend if you've enjoyed that. Do you ever
watch
Death in Paradise?
Yes.
So the guy who wrote the original ones, he's also written a cozy crime.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. And we're waiting for the sequel, which is out in September, I believe. So that'll be another huge moment for
everybody. It will be. Although I will say on record, as I'm on the podcast at the moment, I'm a little bit cross at the pricing of it.
Really? Because tell me.
$14.99 for Thursday Murder Club. And the follow-up is going to be $18.99, which I'm very cross at. But I'm doing my absolute best to get a discount on that because that seems very unfair. But anyway, boring work.
Well, Richard Osman, we will tag you in this podcast. And please try and do something about that because people loved your first book. And I'm sure you want it to be accessible to everyone. Right, Joe, we're going to look at now, if you don't mind, how you got to where you are as manager of Red Lion Books. So my sources tell me that you are from Essex. Is this true?
I am an Essex girl, absolutely.
I didn't like to use that term, but if you have. Where were you born?
I was actually born in the East End of London. So my parents are East Enders, but they legged it out when I was about 6 months.
Okay.
And I grew up in a village.
Where?
Called Ingatestone.
Oh, you know Ingatestone, yeah. Yes. Yeah, that is definitely Essex.
We'll claim you
as one of ours. Yeah, even though 6 months. Yeah, we can. Well, and was that a lovely place to grow up?
Absolutely beautiful village, really nice. I've got one friend who still lives there, and I've asked her to never move because when I go back to the village, I like to knock on her door and say, "Would you like to come out and play?" and long may that last. I'm so proud to have grown up in Essex.
Yeah, me too. Me too. We're saying it for Essex.
It was tough in the 80s, though, as a woman.
I bet.
I mean.
No, seriously, it was.
I used to go on holiday and say to my friend, shall we pretend we're from somewhere else just to save on the jokes? No, we said.
No,
we
that's
will
awful,
prove
isn't it?
To them.
Absolutely.
That Essex girls are fine. We're just fine.
Yeah. And of course, all us men from Essex got labelled as, you know, driving capris and being a bit. Wearing short trousers and no socks.
You know, there are some stories about why that happened.
Oh, yeah?
And
no,
apparently, I don't know if it's true, but I kind of like it. It all happened in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And that was a time when women were working in the city a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And as the women, dare they come into the city environment, which was very male at the time, some of the men didn't like it. So to try to put the woman down, and geographically, women who worked in the city tended to be from Essex because they commuted in.
Yeah.
And so the Essex jokes began.
Well, we're not having it, us from Essex. We are a great county. Essex is lovely. It's so diverse, isn't it? And we've got beautiful countryside. We have got lovely towns. Colchester's a fantastic town. We'll get into that later in the interview. But so what happened then? You went to school in that area?
Yes, I went to the Ingatestone Anglo-European School.
Wow, that sounds exciting.
Very exciting. And people used to commute, although it was a comprehensive school.
Uh-huh.
You had to sort of write a weird letter to go there. So you could say something like, my dad sells French perfume, and you'd get in. I happen to live in the village, but it was really odd because although it was very easy to get in there, the kind of parents who bothered to write a letter and bothered to research where their child wanted to go to school. It was still free, but it did mean that it was sort of selective by accident in a way. But I had friends from all over, friends from Colchester and now they commute from all over. Yeah.
And what's the European bit about it?
But they were really into languages. We had a language lab, which was ahead of its time. Weirdly, I took, it was O-levels then, but I took O-level in everything other than French.
I'm terrible.
I still bump into people I went to school with and they go, oh, Joe, worst French accent ever.
I've got a French O-level.
Well,
I haven't got many, but I've got...
Was it Madame Lafayette?
Jean and Mary Claude were in my book.
Your accent's not much better than mine, Tim.
I can do. No, I'm not. So what happened when you left school?
So people either stayed in the village forever or they ran away to London. I ran away to London pretty quickly. And
what did you do à Londres?
My first job à Londres was working for the BBC.
Oh.
And it was so exciting because...
Amazing.
Every Friday we were delivered and it was a big deal. A free copy of the Radio Times.
Oh, wow.
It was so cute.
My brother still gets the Radio Times.
Does he?
Every edition, yeah.
Wow.
Not just the Christmas just one, like the rest of us.
Not with a highlighter at Christmas, no.
He gets it every week. Is it every week? Yeah, I suppose it is.
Is he a big one?
He loves the telly. So what did you do at the BBC?
So I went to BBC and I was training to be an accountant. So you can see where this is going.
Yes.
So one lunchtime after I got my free Radio Times, it was a Friday, I went to the nearest recruitment consultant and said, I'm not sure accounting's for me. Have you got anything? And they said, yes, there's a job to work in the music industry.
Wow.
And I was like, see you later, BBC.
Bye.
I'm out of here. And then I worked in the music industry for the next 10 years.
Oh, well, tell us about that. What did you do there?
Well, I feel like a bit of...
Sounds exciting.
I've heard some of your guests on this show, and they have done...
No, but nobody worked in the music industry for a record company.
For a record company.
I need to know about this.
Well, I've just...
Because I applied for record companies when I was 18, and nobody took me.
What did you want to do for them?
I didn't know.
Well, there you go.
See, I was 18. I still don't know what I want to do, Jota. No. What did you do?
Well, I just mucked around for 10 years. And I feel like I'm mucking around at the bookshop as well. I'm so fortunate. And because it was a small independent dance label at a time when small independent dance labels were huge. And it was a very exciting time because traditionally music crossed over to be a hit if it got onto the radio. Radio was really important. And then all of a sudden... records were getting into the charts and no one has heard of it. It hadn't been on the radio. And everyone's like, "What? How's this happening?" It was all happening in the clubs.
Yeah.
It was all about clubs. Yeah. And I lived in London and I went clubbing and I loved it.
And you don't reckon this is exciting?
Oh,
this sounds incredibly exciting.
It was exciting at the time. Yeah, so it was exciting. Basically, I wore jeans to work all day and listened to music. But my job, because we're a small company, would be, yes, hello, I'm accounts. Remember, I did the accounts at BBC. Yes, I'm accounts today. Or, yes, I'm, as the company went, a lot of the independents got bought out by the big majors.
Yeah.
And we were very determined to remain independent. And it came back to bite us on the bottom.
Oh, dear.
And it ended up going bust. So eventually I had to put my foot in the door as the bailiffs came to the door. It all ended in tears.
All ended in tears.
It was really
sad. But a wonderful decade.
A brilliant decade. As I say, I'd be accounts, I'd be packing the boxes, I made a herbal tea for Boy George. There you go. Just
tell me. No, you can't just throw that away. So Boy George came in.
Yes, and was offered a cup of tea.
And he made it by then. And he was big. He was huge.
Well, he was.
Or was he on his way up?
Slightly, he kind of
or
went
dipped.
Up and then dipped. Yes, and then, I would say he was on a dip if he came into our place, bless him. But he'd asked for a tea or a coffee, which he was offered by somebody. And he looked horrified because he wanted a herbal tea. And I happened to have one stuffed in the bottom of my bag, a bit of Mary Poppins bag at the time.
And what was he like?
Oh, lovely.
Is he lovely?
Yeah.
Because there's conflicting stories about George, isn't there?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say he definitely didn't sign up with us at the time. He was a producer and mixing things, mm-hmm. and we didn't have a long relationship with him. I suppose my best claim to fame is me and a friend and Gary Davis spent the night together. Not sexually.
Pardon? Gary is Gary's career is on fire, as you know, because he now sits in for Ken Bruce if Ken is on holiday.
Did you know that? I stopped following Gary. He was so polite, though.
Was he?
He had that reputation.
And that hair.
The hair, the tan.
I'm so jealous.
The kind of medallion man.
Yeah.
But he was. So really
lovely.
I wouldn't say we were friends. It was, there was a big party at the Grosvenor.
Yeah.
It was one of those award things. Everyone ended up in a room. And he very politely said, can I crash in your room? And we were like, sure. And we all sort of nestled down, kept our clothes on. He was very polite.
He didn't try anything on.
No, he was not a medallion.
He was a gentleman.
Yes.
It's good to hear. Gary Davis, everybody. Sub for Cambridge.
Ooh, Gary Davis. You have to say
Gary Davis, yeah. And the Radio Times of the Radio 1 Roadshow.
Yes.
Do you remember the Radio 1 Roadshow? That used to come to Clacton.
Oh, Oh, did it?
Huge on the prop.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it was amazing. It really was. Any other stories from the days of the record company that you really want to tell us about?
I mean, I'm willing to
well,
share.
It's not on my list. Afterwards, we'll get it out of her. It wasn't on my list. So what was your favourite club in London?
Oh, that's a really good question. It's one that's not there now. And although I worked very much in the dance zone, I really got into that easy listening cabaret kind of weird period.
Yeah.
And where, you know, secondhand vintagey clothes. And there was a club called Madame Jojo's.
Where was
which
that?
Which I loved. It was right in the centre of Soho.
Oh.
It was fabulous. And do you remember Mike Flowers Pop?
Oh, yeah.
And Count Indigo.
Yes.
And those kind of people.
Mike Flowers Pops. I guess I do. Mike Flowers Pops did a cover of an Oasis song, didn't they?
Yeah.
Wonderwall? Wonderwall.
Yeah. He was on the
really
embarrassing end of the club nights that I went to, definitely. But he's the one that crossed over and people had heard of him. But the Kaminsky Brothers were brilliant. And anywhere they did a club night. There was also a night called Blow Up that I used to love in Camden. But that was in a dodgy pub. So often, as we all know, the best clubs are not in the big places. They're the little weird pop-ups, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. We didn't mention, you said award-winning just now, and that reminded me that Red Lion Books has won an award recently, hasn't it? What, are you Independent Bookshop of the Year or something?
We are the best independent bookshop in the East of England.
In the world, I reckon.
Well, the next thing is in the world. But, I mean, Paige Donaldson, humble, lovely, gracious, lovely person. And he just looked at me and said, "Oh, we're the best one in the whole country." No, and we're fine with that. You know, because if you live here and the best one's in Scotland, you're not going to Scotland. You're stuck with us. So we're quite happy
which is great.
Not to go to that next level.
But you have, that's an amazing reward.
Yeah, we're so chuffed.
Yeah. And the other thing I've forgotten about is your book launches are also brilliant, aren't they?
They are. I mean,
You have a lot of influence over that, Joe, don't you?
Oh, do I like that? I mean, a 4'11" person loves to have influence. I don't know if I've got lots of influence, but I run a book club, which I don't think is any secret in the town, because I'm always banging on about it. I run a book club, and because there are lots of us at the book club, it makes it a really nice thing to say to authors, look, come along. There's a bunch of really eager, enthusiastic people.
And when... Again, this was something extraordinarily brilliant for the bookshop, was when Margaret Atwood brought out the Testaments, there was only two independent bookshops in the country that had a launch event.
Yeah.
And you were one of them.
It was incredible. We had to come up with an idea. So we had to submit an idea, and we sort of used the word the Testaments as the main centre of what we wanted to do. And no one had read the book, so the launch is a tricky one. We haven't read the book, so how could we talk about the book? So we invited our customers to write their own testaments anonymously and give them to us. And then we asked Nicola Goodchild, who is a friend and an actor locally, I'm sure you know.
I've heard of her.
She came along, and I mean, it was sending goosebumps. What she did, it was at the Three Wise Monkeys.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? I was
dark, it was quiet, and read out people's stories that covered bullying, homophobia, stories in hospitals. It was also,
and some were quite amusing as well. There was laughter and tears, wasn't
there? There was. I mean, I'm so glad.
Beautiful event.
You remind me. It was funny. It was poignant, it was beautiful, and Nikki was dressed as a Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, because the Testaments is the sequel to The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
That's an amazing night. Yeah. How did you, did Margaret choose who had the
Margaret
book?
Did. She did, was, yeah. She wasn't the only one. It was
a panel.
Her and her editor, and actually later in the year, we actually had an event with her editor, which, you know, is as good as you're going to get, but the editor who worked with her and has worked with her for all of her books. We had a Zoom event with her as well.
What an amazing achievement. Again, what was the other bookshop? Do you remember who the other
bookshop? I do, because it's my friend Rachel Rogan from Rogan Books, who sadly no longer have a bricks and mortar shop. They're only doing children's.
Where are they based?
They are based in Bedfordshire.
Oh, nice. So it was an East of England thing.
Yes.
Good. And I read The Handmaid's Tale before I read The Testaments, which is the way around to do it.
Yes, absolutely.
And it great, again, another great book, two great books. And I've not watched one episode of the TV series. Have you?
I have. I'm not really a TV person, and as we've already discussed, the book's always better, but I thought it was fabulous. It was so well done. I found the first series excellent.
Yeah.
The second one felt a little bit perverse, actually.
Oh, really?
I felt like there was a director who was enjoying the mistreatment of women a bit too much, so I stopped there.
Well, okay, I'll maybe have to check it out. I love the book. And do you remember when we were used to go allowed to go on aeroplanes?
Oh, do you remember?
Oh, those were the days, weren't they? I read the Testaments more or less on the plane to and from Madeira, and I just couldn't put it down.
And actually, we were speaking about this the other day. Where you read a book and when you read a book can really influence your enjoyment of it. And I realised most of my favourite books are because I've had that luxury of reading them on a holiday.
Yeah, yeah.
You ease into it. On a sun lounger.
By the pool. Yeah, fantastic. Anyway, where have we got to? We got to you leaving the record company.
Oh, so why did I leave them? Oh, yes, because it
went bust.
Yes.
So what did you
So I went backpacking.
Oh, fantastic.
It was brilliant.
How old were you? May I ask?
Late 20s.
Late 20s, okay.
My flatmate in London said, well, what else are you going to do? Just follow me. And I just booked exactly what she did. I booked her flights.
Yep.
And in a way, that was good. I didn't overthink it. Went backpacking, pretty much did Australia.
Wow.
India, Vietnam, Thailand, and somewhere else really important. Where else? Somewhere. But it was great.
Oh, I can imagine it was.
I mean, India is my all-time favourite. I absolutely love India.
Why?
Because of the colour and the people and the richness and the culture and the food and the smells. I love it. I'm so sad for India at the moment. I keep thinking what they're going through.
This is going to sound really stereotypical. I'd love to go to India. I really would love to go to India. I worry about Delhi Valley.
Oh, gosh, no. Loads of boiled eggs. It's fine.
I don't eat eggs.
Oh, don't you? Okay.
Don't go to India.
No,
I'm going to get to India one day. But you didn't have any trouble?
No.
Health
issues? You really want to hear about my bowels?
No. People certainly don't want to hear about mine.
No,
that must have been a hell of an adventure.
Yeah, it is the most fantastic, amazing country.
Yeah. How did you travel mainly? Train?
In India, train is really important.
Yeah.
And actually in Vietnam, there's a train journey that's supposed to be one of those most amazing train journeys in the world. It completely rained and we couldn't see out the window.
Oh, what a shame. What a shame. And have you seen Slumdog Millionaire?
I have and read the book.
That's great. I haven't read the book.
The book has got a slightly different story. It's actually called Q&A, I think.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And it has got a slightly different story to it. But again, I thought the film version was pretty good.
I thought it was Danny Boyle. Yeah. Very good. Joe, we've reached the stage in your life where you've just been backpacking, but we've reached the stage in the interview where we're going to go into your favourite things.
Oh, okay.
Which is the quick fire round.
Oh, no.
So it's just the thing that comes into your head, and I know what you've said, and you probably know what the first one's going to be. So it's just what your favourite book is on this day.
Oh, it has to be Gentleman of Moscow.
Yes.
It has to be.
Yeah, you've said it.
Okay.
Favourite author?
Maggie O'Farrell.
Okay. Favourite film? You say you're a movie buff?
I am a movie, but oh, don't make me do that.
Yeah,
okay, so last night I saw Nomadland. It's not my favourite movie ever, but you're putting me on the spot here.
That's
I want to be
point.
Current.
Favourite play?
Oh, stop it. This is so mean. I'm missing the theatre so much. Okay, who's the hot priest?
Andrew Scott.
What was he in last year?
He's an old coward.
Noel Coward.
Life Spirit.
So good.
Present Laughter.
Gosh.
I hope nobody heard that prompt.
Present Laughter. But I think it was him. He was physical in it.
Oh, right.
So I thought he was fantastic.
I didn't get to see it.
And apparently he's quite hot, but you know.
Apparently so. Yeah, I think he is. That's fair enough. And so somebody who works in a record company, favourite song?
Oh, stop it.
Stopping
it's
it,
not my favourite song. This is really
you can't say it's not my favourite.
And not cool. But the song that is in my will and has been in my will now for 22 years is, I know, but you got to laugh, is Queen, Don't Stop Me Now, because I think it's so funny, because whenever that time comes, I will not be ready to die. So Don't Stop Me Now, I'm having a good time.
I've always said I want Anarchy in the UK by the Sex Pistols, but I don't think they'll play it in the Catholic Church.
If you put it in your will.
I don't think they would. No, they'd have to play it at the wake.
Yeah.
Favourite band?
Favourite band. Oh gosh, I can't even think of any band. It's funny, I was so into music.
Yeah.
I feel like I've replaced it with books. I go to lots of festivals.
Yeah.
But I never.
Okay, what was your favourite band back in the day then?
Oh gosh, there's so many. I'm
choose one.
Radiohead.
See, way past my time. Like after 84, I don't do music.
Point. I'm going to get home and go, oh, I should have said whatever.
When you listen it back, you think, really? TV show?
Oh, don't watch TV, but have recently discovered... Well, I do watch TV. I watch loads of TV, but not enough to have a favourite, but I am loving Call My Agent.
Oh, concept. It is magnificent.
I'm obsessed with it.
Oh, it's superb. Have you watched them all yet?
I've watched them all.
Oh, we watched them all. Loved it. And they're making a film and another series,
it's
apparently.
It's almost like a Greek tragedy.
Oh, it's wonderful.
The goodies and the baddies. And you like the goodies, but they're bad. And the baddies, but they're good.
Lovely. Watch Call My Agent, everyone. Yeah, and you have to read the subtitles very quickly sometimes because they're whizzing across the screen.
I don't speak French, as per earlier conversation. Yes. However, my husband was clanging around the other day in the kitchen. I said, "Oh, keep it down." And he said, "But you don't speak French." And I realised I don't speak French, but you pick up on the language and what they're saying. It's so fantastic.
Right. You've been tripped up by the few of the others, so I don't think you're going to be tripped up by the one that's tripped everybody else up. Favourite famous person with the name Joe?
Well, at school, I used to get called all sorts of weird Joe ones. Favourite famous person
called Joe?
Called Joe Pesky, Go Pesky, Pesky, what's his name? How many Joes are there?
I don't know, but that's Joseph, presumably. You're not going to choose
Joe Pesky. He's an actor, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
Well, let's do him.
Are you a Joe Zafina or a Joanne?
It's 19 whatever I was born. It's Joanne.
Joanne.
Not Joanna.
Joanna Lumley. Okay. Joe Pesky's a fine one. Favourite holiday destination, I think you've said?
Yeah.
India?
Yeah,
brilliant. Favourite actor or actress? Or favourite actor and actress, if you like. I'll give you that licence.
Well, I could just say Hot Priest again, but that would be a bit boring. I don't know, and I know
you said Leo before.
Oh, I did.
Before the interview.
I think Leonardo DiCaprio, whatever.
Yeah.
He does bring something to the screen. He lights up a screen. Yeah. Let's go for him. Thank you for helping me. You're being too kind.
Good looking fella again, Leo DiCaprio. Right, and it doesn't sound as though you've been watching it, so I might have to change the question. Have you been watching Line of Duty?
No, but I've been reading everybody's comments on it.
I didn't get into to series 5, but now I'm addicted, so I can't ask you that. Okay, famous character in Call My Agent then.
Oh, they're all so... I mean, Gabrielle, he's just... I mean, I...
Love him.
I just like nice people, but he's the boring one in a way.
Well, I can't have that.
No,
people won't know what we're talking about if they haven't seen it, but it's a wonderful series and wonderful characters. And Gabrielle is an excellent character. Well done. I think my favourite as well.
Him and her. It's so lovely to see male-female friendship.
Yeah.
We don't see it enough in books.
Yeah.
We don't see it enough on TV. Male-female friendship is real and it's important.
Very good. That you'll be glad to hear, or maybe not. That's the end of that section. So let's get back to after the backpacking, what happened?
Oh, okay. Gosh, I thought I was away scot-free then. After the backpacking, I came home, got off the plane, and my ex-boss from the record company, who was a character, said to me, "Hi, so you're back. You've got no money, no job, no house, no car. Would you like to come and live in my rooftop terrace in Notting Hill? I can't afford to pay you, but I want you to work for me again. So I can't afford to pay you, but you've got
free accommodation."
I was like, it sounded like a deal. So I moved in. Turned out his son and daughter were there as well. But it's fine because I was young and we were all having a laugh. And it was a fantastic location. Rooftop terrace, beautiful. Yeah. But then after about 2 months, people started to come around and look at the flat. So I said to my lovely boss, you're going to have to pay me if I'm back working with you again. But we used to play very much good cop, bad cop. And we worked together really well. So I did work for him for a little while longer. Mm-hmm. And we'd sort of started a film company as well.
Oh, wow.
So again, I spent all day reading scripts. which was brilliant fun, but he ran out of money, so it all fell apart. So I worked for an engineering firm.
Wow.
In the railway industry.
Where was that?
That was in St John Street, which is a very nice part of town where, where's the fish market?
Billingsgate?
It's not Billingsgate, is it? It's the other one. I can't, Spitfields. It's Spitfields, yeah. Great area, great location. And do you know what? People laughed. I'd gone from the music industry to the railway industry. Most of my colleagues were called John. And they were so quirky, intelligent, funny, stereotypically nerdy. But I loved them. They'd put up a word of the day on the blackboard every day. I loved them. I loved working there. And then
What sort of word of the day?
Very wordy.
Naughty ones?
No, worthy ones.
Long ones.
Yes, because they always wanted to, they were nerds, they wanted to better themselves. I really enjoyed working for them.
Brilliant.
And then I had my first baby and moved to Colchester.
Ah, we've got to Colchester.
We've got to
Colchester. What attracted you to Colchester?
Ah, it was cheaper than London.
Come to Colchester, come it's to cheaper than London.
No, I mean, I'm from Essex, so I was always going to come back this way. My partner now, husband, his sister lived here, so she kept sending us places. And I love it. We're stuck between, or stuck, we're perfectly positioned between London and France.
We seriously are.
I really like the location. And I felt like growing up in Ingatestone, Chelmsford was my nearest town. And I felt like it didn't ever quite get its identity because people would just go to London.
Totally agree.
A little bit further. Yeah. Colchester's fab, and I really, really like it.
And when did you almost immediately start engaging with the culture in Colchester?
Yeah.
So the Mercury and...
Yeah, instantly. I'd always come to the Arts Centre.
Oh.
I mean, always when I lived in Ingatestone and Chelmsford, and even in London, I'd come back and visit Essex friends, and we used to go to the Acid Jazz nights and the comedy nights. I loved it. And then as I was pregnant, I saw a job advertised. And, I mean, I love Ant and I love the Arts Centre. They, at no point did they say, you're 8 months pregnant, are you sure you want this? Yes, I want this job. And they said, right, well, if you want to try out on a Friday night, okay. So on a Friday night, I went down there, picked up fag butts, picked up, because at the time you could smoke inside, I think.
Probably could.
I remember picking it up and I went, and then they never at any point said, you're about to have a baby. They were so professional. But the person who was leaving, which I think was Pasco, he never left, so the job was never there. But it embedded in me even deeper how much I love the Arts Centre.
Oh, the Arts Centre is a wonderful place. It really is. I've interviewed Anne for the podcast, and it will be entertaining. But I think nearly everybody's mentioned him. So he is quite pivotal. I don't want this to go to his head, because he's a good mate of mine, but dude, banter with each other, but it's a remarkable thing he's done in Colchester. And of course, he ran First Sight for a while as well. Yeah. So you got to Colchester. You're engaging with the art. What other did you have any other jobs in Colchester before the Red Line?
In Colchester, no. Although I did have my own little funny business called Tea and Sympathy. So I've never worked for anybody in Colchester.
I didn't realise that was you, Jo.
What, did you not?
No.
Oh, that was tea, which was Melissa, and sympathy was me. Because I'm brilliant. Crap at making tea. But that...
It's all right, I don't drink tea. I'd have had the sympathy.
Kind of by accident. I knew the woman who owned the building, and she'd run a shop which was a vintage clothes shop, and was still having to pay business rates, even though she wasn't in there. And she said, you know what, you can have the building, just pay the rent, just pay the rates.
Yeah.
And it was summer holidays. Melissa and I had 5 children between us, and we're like, we've got no money. We don't know what to do in there. So we went to the boot sale, just bought a load of stuff, and started a business. But, I mean, it was hilarious. We had a coffee machine, and I wouldn't charge people until they tried the coffee. It was that bad. Any good today? Okay, I'll charge you today. But it had such a cute atmosphere in there. But we quickly realised that we couldn't really make money from selling things because we didn't have the money to invest in it. So we had events there. We had ukulele lessons for kids. We had cocktails in jam jars and, you know, how to do make nipple tassels and all sorts of strange things. And then we started to think, wouldn't it be fun to have a party in the shop? There's something very Mr. Ben about it, isn't it?
Oh, Mr. Ben, what a great show.
Closes, yes. And they come. And I do believe to this day the reason that worked is everybody who walked in the shop, we would say, do you want to come to a party? And people would say, oh, am I old enough? I'm only 18, yes.
Yes.
Oh, am I too old? I'm 85. Yeah. It's for
come
everybody.
Along, it's for everybody. Great.
We used to send the invites out, well, they were paid for tickets, but we'd say to people, act as though everybody is here on their own. So whoever you come with, just presume the person next to you is here on their own and talk to them. And everybody did.
Great idea, concept. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
And is it after that you got to Red Lion Books, or is there anything in between?
Oh, God, I'm there, yeah. So in the meantime, it's pretty
I'm trying to get full circle, you see, Jane. Oh, okay. I don't just throw this together.
Well, for the whole period of living in Colchester, I started a book club because that's what I missed in London.
Yeah, yeah.
Started a book club, went along to lovely Peter Donaldson and said, hello, I'd like to sell some books for you. And he was like, why? Because I love independent bookshops. Do you want any commission? No. Okay, so the first, I mean, this is a great story and I've told it before, but I took 20 books from him. And at the time, he did not know me. And on the first night of book club, I'm walking around with the 20 books trying to sell them to people for Red Lion. And I spilt an entire glass of red wine into the box. So I'm now going around thinking, would you buy a really, you know, it smells, that wet wine, soggy smell. Would you like to buy a sort of basically ruined book? Please. And everybody bought them. And I knew then that book club was going to be lovely. And I went back to Peter and said, I've sold your books, but I nearly didn't. And he said, it would have been fine.
Well, Peter's like that.
Yes, but now I know the margins on books. It really wouldn't have been fine. It would have been a disaster. But he was very nice about it. And then I continued to do that. So years later, he said, do you know anyone looking for a job? You know, maybe a student. I was like, yeah, I'll go for a bookshop. And so I went for an interview.
Yeah. And you got the job and the rest is history. And I think you've touched on, Joe, why Colchester is this cultural hub. And basically the concept of this podcast is why Colchester has got so much going for it in terms of arts and culture. And so it's geography and it's the people and it's the venues and it's the bookshop.
Definitely the geography. I think we have to get our
own
culture.
I love that, between London and France. Yeah.
But also, we're not so near to London. It's not so easy. No. As I say, I grew up in South Essex, and you would just run to London. What, you know, you don't bother to embed it into your own town. Whereas here,
we're just far enough away, aren't we? It's nice to have a trip into London every now and again, but we've got lots going for us in Colchester, haven't we?
Yeah, you've got to find it. You've got to poke around. But those little venues, like the Arts Centre, like the theatre, the Headgate, and the Mercury, I mean, it's all there, isn't it? So I've been to loads of little amateur things as well.
Yeah, brilliant.
And they're brilliant. They're brilliant.
And I think that's a great note on which to leave it. It is brilliant here in Colchester. Thank you so much, Joe. That's been fantastic. Join me again soon for another edition of the Cultural Colchester Podcast.